Good evening, everyone, and happy Tuesday to you. This is Gene Montristelli, the editor of TappingQ&A.com, and welcome to the first of two classes for the month of March for the Ruas Center. Tonight, we are going to be talking about pain and ways that we can tap for physical pain. And I think at the end, what we're going to do is we're going to sneak in a little bonus technique for you that will help you out kind of managing the body as well. It was something that I actually learned from one of my clients, or he took something that I said and expanded it into a really awesome way. As always, if you are listening to us tonight on the webcast and you want to ask a question about what we're talking about, all you need to do is just type a question there into the chat box on the side, and I will get that. Please remember, there is about a 15-second delay between me speaking and it making it over the internet to you. So if you ask the question and it doesn't feel like I'm responding immediately to it, that's because it just takes a little while for it to trickle through from you to me. Also, as a reminder, later in the month, we're doing a question and answer call where we're going to tap on and answer any questions that you have about anything at all related to tapping. Feel free to just shoot me an email, gene@tappingqna.com, or just click the contact me link once you've logged into the site. If you have a tapping issue or a question and you are afraid that you're not going to be on the call, that I will answer all the questions that I get sent in as well. So with that being said, let's jump on in. When it comes to tapping for physical pain, one of the things that I think often gets missed or misunderstood is the place that we need to start. And it was really interesting. 2 weeks ago, I was talking to one of my clients, and the image of this kind of became much clearer as we were talking. And the image was of a filter or a veil or something that was in the way. Oftentimes, there's something that we want to do, or there's something that we want to heal or transform, but we don't have immediate access to it. That there is a filter, a veil, an emotion, or something that's in the way that is preventing us from seeing that thing that is there and seeing it clearly. And oftentimes when we can see the issue clearly, it makes it a lot easier for us to step in and tap for it and move through it. In the case of things that are going along physically in the body, the thing that often gets in our way is the emotions that we have about the place that we have landed. And those emotions can take lots and lots of forms. And if we don't clear those emotions first, it's going to be really hard and really difficult for the body to heal, one, and for us to aid in that healing process. Think of it this way. You have 100% of the energy in your system that you can spend towards what is going on. And if you are taking half of that 100% of the energy from the system and you are spending it on feeling frustrated, feeling overwhelmed, feeling disappointed, feeling let down, or any of the emotions that can come along with physical pain, then that's half the energy the body doesn't have to be dedicating to healing. And as you will see with some of the emotions, they actually stop and prevent us from healing because of the nature of the emotion. So to begin with, when you're going to tap for something that's physical, just asking yourself the question, how do I feel about it, and paying attention to that. And if you want to zero in and focus in a little bit, here are some of the emotions and some of the issues that come up first. The first is the frustration of all of the things that we cannot do because of the pain that we are in. Oftentimes when we're in physical pain, it slows us down, we're achy, we're painy, it takes our focus away. As a very slight example, I'm in the middle of doing a fast, and I haven't had anything to eat for 2 days. And just that, not pain, but just the hunger of 2 days, a number of times this afternoon has been really distracting and has made it difficult for me to work. And that isn't something that's intense. When we are in some sort of physical pain and it is intense, it can be distracting and that can be really, really frustrating. So the first emotion that I like to go in after is the frustration of what's going on. The second emotion that I like to ask about and figure out what's going on is to see if there's any disappointment or anger at our body for letting us down. Because oftentimes when we have something that's going on in our physical body, especially if it's not something where we have been injured, you know, like I've twisted an ankle, but it's just something that's going from the inside out, we can be really, really frustrated that the body isn't healing and doing what it's supposed to and what we're used to doing. Or we can hurt ourselves and be really frustrated by the fact that it's not healing fast enough, that it feels like it's taking way too long, and from day to day, because the progress is so slow, that we're in a circumstance where we really can't move forward. The third issue that oftentimes shows up with a physical pain that can slow us down is sometimes there is a part of us that feels like we deserve to be in physical pain. About 2 years ago, and I wrote this up as a case history on tappingqa.com, there was someone I was working with who had twisted her ankle and was in a great deal of pain for twisting her ankle. And the way she twisted her ankle was she was out for a run, and because there was something going on in the sidewalk in her area, she was running in the grass. And as she was running in the grass, all of the grass was the exact same height, which meant she did not see the big hole that was in the ground, because when the lawnmower went over, it cut the grass at the same height. And so because she couldn't see the hole, she stepped in it and she twisted her ankle. And there was a part of her that felt like she was really, really dumb, because she stepped in a place that she should have seen, or she should have been running on the sidewalk instead of the grass. And there was just this whole host of things where she felt like this was her just desserts, that she was in pain because of something she did. And so as long as she is sitting in that space of feeling like she deserves the physical pain that she has, then she's never going to move forward because the body thinks that's where it's supposed to be. So again, we bump into this sense of frustration about what we can't do and how long it's taking us to heal. Disappointment and anger at our system for not healing fast enough. Or feeling like we deserve being stuck in that place, then it's going to be really difficult for us to heal. So before we start to tap on the physical pain itself, it's a good idea to check in just generally, what do I feel about this? And you're a skilled tapper, you can tap on that. But more specifically, looking at those three emotions, disappointment, frustration, and I deserve to have this. The second thing that we do in the process is to ask ourselves the question, is this physical pain serving me in some way? And oftentimes this is a little bit of a tricky one for us to figure out on our own, and it might be easier to do that with a practitioner, but it's a good thing to ask. A perfect example of this would be a widower who is in the Northeast United States this time of year, where we've had all of this nasty, nasty, nastiness. And he wakes up early in the morning to his empty home. He goes out front and he sees the newly fallen snow, and he decides that, you know what, I need to be a good citizen. I need to shovel the walk in front of my place. Here in New York City, it's a requirement. We all have to shovel our sidewalks because we're a pedestrian city. In the process of shoveling the sidewalk, he slips, he falls, he hurts his hip. Well, now that he's hurt his hip, Meals on Wheels is coming by once a day to bring him dinner. Every Sunday, the pastor from the local church is stopping by to see how he's doing. And his adult children who live in other parts of the country are now calling him regularly to check in on him. Now, this might not be a conscious choice, but on a subconscious level, all of a sudden, the hurt hip is serving him, because he's now getting the attention from the people from Meals on Wheels, the pastor, and his children, And so all of a sudden, he's not as lonely as he once was. And so there is a specific and significant advantage for him not to take the time to heal. Now, again, this might not be a conscious issue to say, I'm going to stay wounded. And some people actually do that. They continue to hurt themselves on purpose to keep people in their life. But most people do it on a much more subconscious way. So when we're experiencing any sort of ache, pain, injury, something that's going on, even if it's something that was an accident, we were in an auto accident, we tripped and we fell, whatever it was, it's good for us to ask the question, what is the benefit of me staying injured? Or what is the penalty for me getting better? And when we're able to ask ourselves those questions, maybe some really interesting and specific information comes forward. So again, we deal with the emotions around the injury. The second thing we do is we check in to see if there's a penalty for healing. The third thing that I like to do when I'm dealing with something like this is I like to get a little bit creative. And of the steps that I'm going to share with you tonight, this is the one that we can get ourselves into the most trouble with, because those of us who are regular tappers and think about this stuff carefully, what we can do is we can end up overthinking this one and getting ourselves into trouble. But it's an interesting question to ask. If we have something that is going on physically, it's a good idea to ask ourselves the question, what is the metaphor or what is the story that is going on with this? You know, physical pain shows up in our hips. Oftentimes, that has to do with us moving forward. Physical pain showing up in our legs and our ankles and our feet. Oftentimes, that's about a sense of feeling grounded. Shoulders, heavy burdens or things are going on our shoulders. What are those things we feel like we should be doing and we're carrying around? And there are other things that show up in the body that are a little less metaphorical, but show up pretty consistently. Pain in the lower back oftentimes has a lot to do with money. Things that are showing up, tightness and things that are showing up in the solar plexus, oftentimes have to do with self-identity and self-esteem. Things that show up in the right side of the body oftentimes have to deal with the past, and things that show up on the right side of the body oftentimes have to deal with relationships that we have with males. Things that show up on the left side of the body, future, things that show up on the left side of the body oftentimes have to do with relationships with females. Now, when we deal with something like this, I think it's really important that we take this information and we treat it exactly like eyewitness testimony. When a police officer or a detective is doing an investigation and they're talking to an eyewitness, they don't take what the eyewitness is saying as fact, and they don't dismiss what the eyewitness is saying completely out of hand. What they do is they use it as an interesting place to start an investigation. So they say, you know, the robber, after he ran out of the bank, he jumped into a red Mustang and he drove away. So what the cops are going to do is they're going to spend some time doing some investigation, looking for red cars and looking for Mustangs in the area. Now, they don't assume it's a red car and they don't assume it's a Mustang, but it's a good starting point. When we're looking at the metaphors and the different ways that we see things showing up in the body, I think it's a really good practice to do the exact same thing. So, for example, I have a client that shows up and they have a pain in their right hip, and they tell me that 9 months ago, I slipped and fell and I hurt my right hip, and all of a sudden it has started aching again. So because it's landed in the right hip, I have a whole bunch of interesting places that I can start the investigation. So first of all, we have the physical wound from falling, and maybe he just restrained it again because it didn't heal all the way. It's in the hip. Hip might be about moving forward. It's on the right side of the body. It might be about something in the past that he's still carrying around. It's in the right side of the body. It might be about relationships that he has had in the past. Now, I don't know if any of those four things are true, but they all become really interesting places for me to start the investigation as I'm poking around. And so when you're tapping for something physical, it would be a good idea to investigate those things. If you're looking for a much more comprehensive resource than anything I can provide to you, just check out Donna Eden's stuff. She's written very extensively about things in the body and what different parts of the body say and what metaphors they speak. Catherine Poole has also done the exact same thing. So, in order, again, we check in with the emotions about the issue. The second thing we check in on is to see if there's a reason that we're not healing. The third thing to do is to check into the metaphors. Maybe there's some really specific information that is there. So before we continue on, do you have any questions about those first three ideas? Again, if you've called in, you can press star 2 to raise your hand. And if you have joined us on the line for the webcast, if you just type in the left-hand box, I will get the little information and the question here. And while you're thinking about that, I'm going to take a sip of tea. Excellent. We have a question. Yes. Hello.
Can you say the names of the people who wrote about issues?
Yeah.
Yep. Is it Catherine Poole?
Catherine Poole, and Poole is spelled P-O-O-L-E. And the other person is Donna Eden. And when I post the audio later tonight, I will put links to some of my favorite resources for both of them, book titles and things like that.
Okay, sounds good. Thank you.
You bet. Excellent. Okay, so the fourth thing that I like to do when we're working our way through this, and this on some level seems pretty obvious, but I forget to do it as well, is to simply ask the wound, what does it need? And what I have found is oftentimes when I am trying to think of a problem all by myself, I am too close to what is going on for me to have a really clear vision and understanding of what I'm experiencing. But if I'm able to create a step back where I disassociate myself just a little bit so that I can see what is going on, it gives me the opportunity to get some really interesting and surprising information. And so what I like to do is I like to personify the wound. You know, I imagine that it has a little personality and I'm about to engage in a conversation with it. Now, before we extract any information from it, it's really important that we create a sense of rapport and connection with our body, especially if at the beginning we're in a circumstance where we're really angry with the body and we're really disappointed with what the body is doing to us. It's going to be a hard time to be in a collegial relationship with our body to have information. So when I am going to ask my system for information, the first thing I do is I just do a little tapping that goes something like this. Right now I'm frustrated with the fact that I am in physical pain, and I know the pain that my body is communicating is trying to point out what is wrong, and I know deep down my body is doing everything it can to heal this as fast as it can. And even though I want it to happen faster, even though I'm disappointed in what's going on, I know my body's intentions are true and it's trying to keep me safe and healthy. And what that does is it moves me from an adversarial relationship with the pain. I'm no longer frustrated with the pain and banging heads with it. I've basically turned to the pain and said, hey, I know we're on the same team. You might not be doing something that I think is really useful, and you might be doing something that isn't useful, but I appreciate the fact that you want what's best for me, and I appreciate the fact that we're on the same team. And so what that does is I have found when I do that, when I then ask my system for information, it's much more likely to be forthcoming and provide good, useful information, because that barrier of frustration, like we talked about at the beginning, is down and it's easier for me to step in. So after I've done tapping like that, I simply turn to the pain and I ask the pain, what do you need? What are you afraid of? What would you like healed? Now, when I ask a question like that, and a whole assortment, an array, and whatever can come surging through, it might be something as, I need exercise, I need rest, I need to be elevated, I need you to eat healthier. It also could be, I need you to let go of this. I am scared about this. This is the thing that is trapped inside of me. And so, depending on the information that comes forward, that is then going to determine what you do next and how you tap for that. So once we've created the space that allows us to work our way through, all we do is we simply ask it, what does it need? And what is it afraid of? What does it need? And what needs to be removed? So, any questions about that? That's a pretty straightforward step, but it is something that I find really, really useful. We make the issue our ally by talking about how and tapping to get ourselves connected, and then just asking it for whatever information it has. The fifth step, hold on a second. Yeah.
We're asking the body all these questions prior to tapping, down to 5 minutes.
When I'm doing something like this, I'm just tapping the whole time. You know, I just basically let my fingers do the walking, because it's important that we remember that all we need to do is tune in and tap to have relief. And so whatever resistant pain, frustration is there, even in the asking of the questions, if I'm tapping while I'm doing that, what it's going to do is it's going to find its way to relief and create some space.
Okay.
Does that make sense?
Yes, thank you.
Excellent. So the next step, the fifth step, and this is the one that I think is the most fun, if tapping for pain can be fun. And what that is what I like to call fairy tale physics to the rescue. So what I like to do is I like to visualize what is going on inside of the body. And based on what is going on inside of the body, I like to then fix it through a visualization. Now, this is not going to work for everyone, because not everyone imagines things in a visual way when they're thinking about them. And if this is something that doesn't come naturally to you, that's okay. This is just one more tool in the toolbox that allows you to move forward as you're trying. So let's take it in a couple steps. So visualize. So when you tune into whatever is going on in the body, whatever ailment is there, just imagine what it feels like. You imagine your knee. Does it feel like an old crumbling building where the joints aren't fitting together correctly? Or does it feel like there's hot molten lava that's jammed in the place? Or does it feel like there's stone that's encasing the bone so they can't move? Or whatever it is. So basically, you just tune in and, like I said, fairy tale physics. If you were going to describe to a 5-year-old during a bedtime story, and you are going to give them this fanciful description of what was going on in this space, what would you do to describe what is going on in that space? And so just give yourself permission to let your creativity run free. And again, the whole time we're just tap, 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 moving from point to point. So that's the fairy tale part of it. Now the physics part is we're gonna come in and we're gonna fix it, but we're going to fix it with fairy tale physics. So what that means is, as we're transforming the image, as we're doing a visualization, we need to do a visualization that is reasonable enough, again, that a 5-year-old would believe it when we're telling a bedtime story, but we're allowed to be fanciful. Example, let's say that I am feeling a physical pain in my throat. And as I think about it, the way the physical pain manifests itself is it feels like a steel wool that is woven together that has created a band around my neck, and it's suffocating and pinching it tight. So that is the image that I have. So it is perfectly reasonable if I was telling a story to a five-year-old before they went to bed that I would have some sort of magical, super powerful sword that would allow me to slide it under the steel wool and cut it free without doing any damage to the neck. So I'm doing something that is reasonable inside of the world, but I'm doing it in a fanciful fairy tale way. What would probably be unreasonable is if I imagine I had a giant tuna fish and I took that tuna fish and I stuck it under the steel wall and I used that to cut it free. You know, a five-year-old wouldn't believe that. That is a step too far. And so what I do is I tune into the space and I simply imagine the healing that is happening that puts it to a place that fixes what's going on. So if I imagine that it was a creaky old breaking building around my knee, I might imagine a team of carpenters and engineers coming in and taking out the bad stuff and replacing it with good stuff. If I imagine it packed full of cement around the joints, I might imagine a little bitty construction crew going in there with jackhammers and jackhammering it away. If it's something that is full of fluid, I might imagine something draining it away. If it's something that's full of pressure, I might imagine putting a pressure release valve on it like a pressure cooker and pulling it so it comes free. If it's something that's really tight, I might imagine a team of masseurs going in and working their magic. But again, what I do is I see the problem, and then I see, as I'm tapping, a visualization that goes through, that breaks apart, that breaks up, that releases, that lets go. And the neat thing about this is you can just let your imagination go. You can be as creative as you want. Even if the specific visualization that you're coming up with isn't the quote unquote right magical visualization, by visualizing what's going on inside of your knee, you are ensuring that you're staying focused on what's there while you're tapping. And we know the key to tapping is tuning into the issue at hand and tapping while we're doing that. And what this does is this just gives us a really creative way to maintain our focus on all of the different aspects of what is going on. Again, in my visualization, I might imagine there's a bunch of cement stuck in there, and as I jackhammer that cement away, I might find underneath it a hot molten lava core that needs to be cooled off and then released, followed by this sense of clearing away all of the debris and redealing with all of the structure and imagining my little engineers come in. It might be that complicated. Now, as I'm doing that, I'm not actually repairing my knee with little bitty jackhammers, but I'm tuning in to three different aspects. I'm tuning in first to the feeling of the stuckness that is there, and I'm tapping on that as I jackhammer it away. Then I'm dealing with the hot pain in the middle that shows up in my image as hot molten lava. Then I'm imagining some engineers coming in dealing with the structural stuff, dealing with the way that the knee functions. So going through that visualization, what I've done is I've tuned into three different aspects of what is there, which I find is much more effective than going, this pain in my knee, this pain in my knee, this pain in my knee. Now, as you do this, allow yourself to get as fanciful as you want. Don't judge what your subconscious mind comes up with. I was working with a client one time and we were dealing with something that was in the throat. At least that's the way it was visualizing. And there was whatever was going on in the throat. And so I asked her, what do we need to fix what is going on in here? And she said, Bruce Willis from the Die Hard movie. Okay. So what that visualization needed to be transformed was Bruce Willis from the Die Hard movie to show up and do whatever he was going to do inside of that space. And so what that allowed her to happen was it allowed her to stay focused and tuned in what was going on as she moved from place to place to place. So the last step for that is to go into a visualization that will help you to see your way through and just imagine what is there. So again, in order, the first thing we do is we deal with the emotions about the issue. The second thing we do is we tune in and look for, are there any penalties for me not releasing this? Or are there any benefits for me staying wounded? The third thing we do is we check in and see if there are any metaphors that might be speaking to what's going on inside of the body. The fourth thing we do is we simply clear the resistance and frustration to make the pain an ally, ask it what it needs. And the fifth thing that we do is we imagine what is going on and we imagine some healing coming to that. Now, if you are dealing with something that is chronic, it's important to remember that it's been around for a really long time. So it's good that we recognize that we might need to go after it for a really long time. Because even if the physical wound is something that is emotionally based, sometimes, and not always, because there are spontaneous healings, but sometimes it takes the body a little bit longer to catch up with the emotion that is happening because the body is existing in a physical space. And sometimes, even if we clear the emotional underpinnings, it might take a little time for it to get there. So anything that is chronic, recognize the fact it might take some time to tap on this. And if it's something that's getting you some relief, recognize that some relief is better than no relief. The other caveat to all of this, and this is probably the caveat I should have began with, but it's important nonetheless. Tapping is a really wonderful, amazing, powerful tool that can be used for lots and lots of things. That does not mean it is always the first thing that we reach for. You know, if I have cut my hand and I'm bleeding severely, I am not going, even though my hand is cut, I love and accept myself. Even though I'm bleeding all over the kitchen, I love and accept myself. Even though I'm staining all of the dish towels, I love and accept myself. Like that's not where I'm going to start. The place I'm going to start is I'm going to start by applying direct pressure to the wound, and I'm going to make sure that with my free good hand or a loved one is calling 911 so we can respond to what's going on. So just because it is a way to respond doesn't mean it should be the only way to respond. That we always need to make sure that we're making good, sound advice about the way that we respond to what's going on in our body. So those are the five steps that I go through when I'm dealing with something that is physically painful. It doesn't necessarily mean that you need to do all five steps, because oftentimes as we work through the first couple of the steps, we find our way to relief really quickly. Or we might just do that last visualization step and that's enough to clear it out. But I wanted to give you to them all five in a systemized order. And then as you play with it, you can see what's going on. So any questions about those five steps and how to apply them in your tapping as you go out there and try and take care of stuff that's going on physically in your body? Great. Okay. So I mentioned in the beginning that I wanted to share one little bonus thing with you. And this dovetails onto the last thing that I said with the visualization. This is something, like I said, that I had mentioned to one of my clients that, you know, you might want to check in with your body to see how it's doing, asking it some of these questions. And so what he started doing was he imagined in his mind every single morning having a staff meeting with his body, where he imagined that there was a little bitty department head from every single part of his body that came forward. And there was someone who was in charge of sleep and someone who was in charge of digestion and someone in charge of circulation and someone in charge of his relationships. And, you know, he just had this whole staff of people. And every single morning what he did, and he spent about 5 minutes doing this, again, tapping the entire time, had a staff meeting with them, and he let the body know what he wanted to have accomplished today, what he needed them to do. So he was giving them their marching orders. And he asked each part of the body, what does it need? in order to be successful and healthy to achieve what it's called on to do for the day. And I thought it was just a really lovely way to, again, tune in a unique way to the body to respond to its needs, because if we are doing that consistently, then we're going to keep the body healthier and we're less likely to get sick and we're less likely to have aches and pains. And if something does come up, we're going to have the resources to respond to it a lot quicker. So that's just a fun little thing to play with. So that is how I tap with pain. It doesn't look like we have any more questions this evening. I will get the audio up here in the next 15 or 20 minutes, so you can go back and re-listen to it if you want. Remember, please, please, please send me your tapping requests and questions for our call in 2 weeks. For Tapping Q&A and the Ruah Center, this is Gene Montristelli. I hope you have a great night, and I will talk to you real soon. Bye-bye.